Well, good morning, Fairhaven. Great to see all of you. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, you've been greeted in all of our campuses. I want to greet you as well. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. It's great to have you here. Happy Father's Day, dads. So good to have you here. The statistics are that on Father's Day, dads want to go to anywhere except church. That's according to the research. And so, dads, if you're here, way to go. Well done. We're so glad to have you here. You're leading your family. Yeah, if you want to give them a big round of applause on all of our campuses, huge round of applause for our dads. That's awesome. I do want to give a shout out to Tammy and Bill, a dad who couldn't be here with us today because of some illness, and so I want to say hello to you. I want to say hello to Springboro, our campus to the south, Northmont, our campus to the north, Beaver Creek, yeah, come on, Beaver Creek, Classics, and all of you that are right here in Centerville. It's great to have you here. We are, in fact, concluding a series about God as our Father, and we're saying it's who you are, and so we've been talking about our Heavenly Father because I wanted to lead up to Father's Day today as we think about this. Now, I'm going to be talking specifically to dads today, and for those of you that are not dads and don't even have, you're not married and you're single or in high school and you're probably thinking, this is not for me. There is so much here that hopefully you can relate to actually in terms of the spiritual essence of what it means to be a man or a woman, but I want to talk specifically to dads. But if for some reason you just can't connect, I got a plan B for you, is all right? And so what you can do is just go onto the app, and at the very bottom of the notes right there is a question. How do you make the most of Father's Day? I want to give you five ways that you can do that, actually. If you just can't connect because you're not a dad, and maybe some of this stuff just doesn't connect with you, today is Father's Day, and it would be a really, really good day for us to do that. I remember my father, who taught me how to drive, when I was a junior in high school, I remember he said, okay, David, it's time to learn how to drive. And so he got me in a car, and it was a red station wagon, which wasn't a very cool car to drive in. No offense to anybody that has a station wagon. And so we got in and he said, this is how I'm going to teach you how to drive. True story. He took a glass of water, filled it half full, and he placed it on the dashboard. And he said, I want you to drive and don't spill a drop of water. Now, I want you to try that this week, okay? Just try that. If you're in high school, it's a lot of fun, actually, to try it. I remember driving, and I'm trying to think of myself, oh, my goodness, I can't let one drop. I was driving like 10 miles an hour, and to this day, you know, decades and decades later, I still remember that to the point where if I want to, I can drive and not use my brakes at all. In fact, many days I tried that on the way to the office, thinking to myself, I wonder if I can, you know, work in such a way where I can drive so I don't have to use my brakes at all. I don't know why, but just for the fun of it. And so I remember my dad teaching me, and it's like, oh, I can't spill that water. But I'm grateful my dad took the time to put me in a car and teach me how to drive. Happy Father's Day, Dad, to you. And to my father-in-law, happy Father's Day to you. We're so grateful that we get the opportunity today to talk about it. As we're thinking about fathers today, I think it'd be important for us to start with this, as we've been talking about God the Father. Among the many names of God that we hold as much meaning is really the term Father. And that's why for 2 weeks, if you missed it, we talked about our Heavenly Father. We talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, we learned the kind of Father that God is. Because when you learn the kind of Father that God is, it plays into our roles and relationships that we have with our own Father even today. And so what a beautiful name it is to call him Father. Last week, we looked at a story that Jesus told about a father who handled two sons very, very graciously. And we learned the heart of a father through the story that Jesus told. And if you missed that, I really encourage you to go back and listen to it, especially if you're a dad, because that sets us up for today. Because when we think of God the Father, it helps us because our Heavenly Father should shape our view of fatherhood. Should help shape that in our lives, should help shape that for you, Dad, should help shape that for all of us as we think to reply and think to connect with our fathers today, or if our fathers, you know, have passed away, for us to, you know, think about memories that we have about him, because our Heavenly Father should, in fact, shape that for us. I would argue, and I think you would all agree with me, that we are all in need of a father. Is that right, church? Anybody agree with me on that? We are all in need of a great father. And that's why 2 weeks we talked about our Heavenly Father. He's a good, good father. It's who you are, God. And then today I want to talk to you about dads. And so if you have a Bible with you, I want to go to a place in Scripture that speaks specifically about families and then to fathers. And so grab your Bibles or a device if you want to power it up. And let's turn to Psalm 127. It is five verses in Psalm 127. It's talking about the family. It's talking about dads in particular. And these five verses have so much to say to us. I want to focus on one verse and spend my entire time with you on one verse. But I want to read it for you, and I want you to see and hear what is happening. If your Bibles are open, you see in there that on Psalm 127, at the top of it, if you look at your Bibles, at the top of it, it says Song of Ascent. Anybody see that there? It's a song of ascent, which is, it means that it's one of the songs that the people of Israel would sing as they walked into Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a hill, and as they walked into Jerusalem for the Passover feast, they would come into Jerusalem and sing these songs. There are 15 of them. It starts in Psalm 120 and goes for 15 psalms. So this is one of the songs of ascent. This is a song that families would sing as they're walking into Jerusalem, ascending into Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was up on a hill. If you've been to Israel, you know what I'm talking about. And so they would sing this song. So that's the first thing we learn about the psalm, is that it's a song. They would sing it as they're walking into this big feast, and they're singing about their family. I want you to notice a second thing. It says here that this is a psalm of Solomon. It doesn't say that Solomon wrote it. It says it's a song of Solomon. So scholars don't know whether David wrote this for Solomon, or David wrote this thinking about Solomon as a father, or Solomon wrote this thinking about his father David. We don't know, but we do know that it's about a father speaking here. And so that's how I want you to see it as we begin to read it. Verse 1, you'll notice as I read it, is a verse that you may have heard before in the context of a church. And it's really, generally speaking, it applies to a church, but it's not speaking about a church at all. This is speaking about the family. So I want you to see it. I'm gonna read all five verses for you, and then let's dive in and look at one in specifics. Here it is. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Again, it's not about the church, this is about the family. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. This is talking about the heavenly father who gives blessings to the earthly father. Verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Five verses here. I want to focus on one. Dads, listen up. This is for you. This is warrior language. I love the metaphor here. This metaphor encapsulates so much for us as dads. I'm going to get that for you in just a second. But let me go and review with you what verses 1-3 say about the family, and then we'll focus on verse 4. So dads, listen in carefully, and the rest of you can kind of just listen in and see what God has to teach you here today. So number one, verse 1 says that no family is successful with God left out. That's why it says in here that God builds, meaning he should be the foundation. And it says that God is the watchman, which means that he needs to be invited in. And so no family is successful when God is left out. So dads, listen carefully. This is about you. So it starts with you in making sure that you're the one that is a spiritual leader, and God is looking to you in such that this is so important for you. Let's make sure we don't miss this, dads, that this is important not to leave God out of our family. The fact that you're here today tells me something already about you. I'm so grateful because I'm a dad and I want to hear this too. That it's so important, dads, that you bring about the spiritual temperature in your home, in your household, and that's exactly what verse 1 is talking about. So that's what that means. Verse 2 says this, that the hard work of your career is nothing compared to God's blessing. It says in there that you get up early, dads, and you work late, and you come home, and then you're looking for rest, but you can't because you've got anxious toil. And dads, you work hard. I have a problem. I work hard as well. And what this verse is saying is that hard work is really good. It's really good. But be careful that you don't see that all you give to your family is just your hard work. What you can bring to your family, because you're not going to leave God out of the picture, is you bring the blessings of God, which is what we see in verse 2. Notice it there. You may want to underline it where it says you get sleep. How many of you agree that sleep is a blessing? It's a big blessing. And so that's what that means. It means that if you work hard, dads, as you should, whether you have a career, whether you own a business, or whether you work for a company, or whether you're a stay-at-home dad, or whether you help in some way, your work is important, but never, never forget that the blessing of God in your home, as you get to be a part of that, is really, really important. Verse 3 says to us that the family is to be the most essential reflection of God. And that's why here at Fairhaven, we care so much about the family. In other words, we care about you that are single. We consider you, by the way, a family. Listen up, singles. You're a family. So when we say family at Fairhaven Church, we don't just don't mean husband and wife and a bunch of kids. We mean you. So the family is something we care deeply about. That's why we want to work with you singles. We want to work with high schoolers and college students, and we want to work with married couples. We have all kinds of things for married couples. We want to work with kids. We want to help you and your kids, even though it's your responsibility. We assist you. We empower you, if you will. So we care because the family is so significant and important to God, because the family is the most essential reflection of God. Let me give you some examples. I don't know if you want to write some of this down. I don't know if you're thinking about this, but it's in the family that we reflect to the rest of the world unconditional love. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're a dad and you bring this into your home, the reflection that you should have about your family is that there should be unconditional love, and the world needs to see that. Secondly, there's love of a father. I mean, real love of a father, which is awesome. Or the care of a mother, which is awesome. Or a community of people. The family is designed by God to be a community of people, not all the same age, which is really important and a reflection of the church, right? We're not all the same age. We have young, we have old, we have everything in between. It's a community of people that come together. The family is a reflection of that. And that community of people reaches out to others, friends, coworkers, neighbors, in order that we might be the reflection of God into their lives. That's what this verse is saying. And of course, it's also helpful to recognize that it's in the family unit, it's in the family that we absorb chaos. We absorb pain and struggle. We get to do that in the context of the community of faith in a family. That's exactly why when you read through scripture, you'll see that the church is defined as a family. Because together as a big family, we get to help each other absorb chaos and problems and struggles and health issues in our lives and all kinds of things. That's what verse 3 is saying, that the family is to be the most essential reflection of God. And then we get to verse 4. Here it is, dads. This is the warrior language. This is for you, all right? Or if you're thinking about being a dad, pay close attention, because I didn't learn this when I was, you know, beginning to be a dad. And so I want to learn along with you here today. Verse 4 is what it says, that children are like arrows. I love it. Children are like arrows. I mean, the metaphor that the psalmist is using here is of an archer. And I want you to catch it today. It's a metaphor, dads, of you being an archer, and that God gives you children. And when he does, those children are arrows. And you and I need to be very, very careful, because it's dangerous. And if we get this wrong, there could be a lot of pain and a lot of destruction. And so what I want to do with you today is spend all of my time in verse 4, and I want you to think throughout the entire Bible, because if you search from the front of the Bible all the way to the end, here's what you'll discover, dads, that this metaphor of the archer and the arrow can be seen in 4 key areas if you want to be a great dad. Let me give them to you, because I'm reflecting on these 4 in my life. Number 1, and we'll talk about all these, number 1 is the bonding to our children. That if you want to be a good dad, you need to understand how to bond with your children, and I'll tell you how that relates to the metaphor of the archer. So bonding is number one. Here's number two, boundaries. That we need to help our children with boundaries. It's so important and so significant, and I'll show you how that works as well with the metaphor of an archer. Number three is the capabilities, meaning helping our children, the arrows that God has given to us, to understand their skills and their strength and the things that God has wired them, because dads, that's part of our job, is to help them understand that. And then here's the last one, number four, realities. Helping to deal with pain and struggle and loss and brokenness, because we all have it, helping our kids to deal with that. So we've got the bonding, we've got the boundaries, we've got the capabilities, and then we've got the realities. And so I want to talk about all four of those in the metaphor, because I think that the author of this psalm was thinking about every aspect of a bow and an arrow. Now, in that era, thousands and thousands of years ago, it probably had more presence in, you know, Main Street as it does today. It doesn't have much presence in our life today unless you're a hunter and you do some bow hunting. So I want to focus for just a second on this idea of that the children are like arrows. I'll never forget when I had my first encounter bow hunting. And I'm not a bow hunter. I've done it once, and I'll tell you why I only did it once. My roommate invited me when I was in college, and he had a bow, not unlike this, maybe a little bit bigger, and he said, let's go bow hunting. And I said, okay, I don't know what that is, but let's go. And so we went, and we got up really, really early. It was dark still when we got up and went out to, you know, to go hunting. And that's actually one of the reasons why I don't hunt today. It's too early. Anybody here not a morning person? Can I just see your hands? These are my people right here. Raise your hands. These are my people. Okay. And so it was really early. We got up before it was dark, and we went out, and we sat in this little tree with this little wood, I don't forget what they call it, a hunting shack or something. I don't know what they call it. And we had to spray all this stuff on us to make sure we didn't smell like, you know, so the deer could smell us. And so we were sitting there for hours and hours. You had to sit quietly. And you're waiting for that deer. And the deer came. All of a sudden, this deer came by, and my roommate nudged me and said, okay, it's your shot. Okay. So I put that bow in here, and, you know, and don't worry, I pulled it way back like this, and I thought, okay, let me get him in my sights. And I was looking really careful to get that deer in my sights, and I thought, man, I've never really done this, and so I don't know. I shot it, and the arrow hit him exactly where it was supposed to, because he said, you got to hit him in the back and right, you know, underneath the, I think it's a rib or something like that. And I hit him right there, and it bounced off. He had forgotten to tell me that you need to take the plastic off the tip of the arrow. So it literally bounced off the deer. And I thought, that was my one shot, and I screwed it up. It's unbelievable. And so I've never been bow hunting since that day. That's my one experience, and that's all I got right there. It's incredible. And yet, the psalmist uses this metaphor, and it encapsulates all of it. It encapsulates the bonding, the boundaries, the capabilities, and the realities. Let's walk through it, because I want you to see that all through Scripture, this metaphor really, really works. So let's start with the first one, and that is the bonding. And really, when it talks about bonding, this starts with you, dads. You are the archer. Your kids are the arrow. So it starts with you. See, you're not going to be a good archer unless you begin to concentrate on yourself, making sure you breathe properly, making sure you know how to work the bow, making sure you take the plastic off of the arrow, making sure all those kinds of things are so, so important. Bonding talks about how men, we are shaped and we are formed based on verses 1, 2, and 3 about how the significance of God being brought into the family. He's our watchman. He's our foundation. We need to make sure that he's not left out. We need to make sure that we get to be part of all of that. And so bonding is so important in helping our children as we look at them as arrows. Let me give you a couple things to think about when it comes to the bonding. Number one, we should, in fact, be our children's first teacher. So your child's first teacher is not preschool. It's not school. It's you, dads and moms. But you, dads, you and I get to teach our children simple things like that's how you respond, that's how you don't respond, that's what we do. You share, you know, remember that when they were 2 and 3? And so we become our very first child's teacher. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22, listen carefully, dads, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that psalm is not a promise, it's a possibility. But here's what we learned, dads, that if you and I work on ourselves to make sure that we are the right kind of men, because dads, listen carefully, you're not a good dad if you're not a good you. You're not a good dad unless you really understand who you are in relationship to God. And so if you're gonna be a good dad and you're gonna be a good man and you're gonna understand that it's gonna take you training up your child, it starts with you understanding that that's an important task and role that you have. That doesn't mean that when they become an adult, they're gonna follow and listen to everything. It just doesn't mean that. But it does mean they'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. And so that's number one. As we think about this bonding, that as we bond with our kids, you become the first teacher. By the way, when your kids get old enough and you bring them to church, it's not the church's job to teach your children. Now we'll do that, but it's not our job. Our job is actually to empower you. Our job is to come alongside you and help you in that process. The church comes alongside. Dads, you be the first teacher. Here's a second way to look at the bonding issue, and that's this. Be the letter from God that your child reads every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that if you're a follower of Jesus, so this relates to everybody, that if you're a follower of Jesus, your life is being written as a letter every day to the public. So the question is, what are they reading? And so dads, this is even more important for us as we think about this, because your children are reading a letter from God every single day about your life, which means that we've got to pay attention. We've got to really make sure that we understand this, because we're not perfect. We have a heavenly Father, by the way, who's perfect. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. I've made mistakes. Dads, I'm sure you've made mistakes. But the idea of making sure every day that we recognize that we are a letter from God to our children, and they're going to read that letter every single day, and we need to make sure that we pay attention to that. It's just that important, because if we're going to bond to our kids, we need to make sure that in the bonding process that they read the right letter every single day. Thirdly, as we think about bonding, third thing we should understand is that we need to be in relationship with time. Now, that kind of goes without saying that, dads, we got to spend time with our kids. But more than that, we all know that, but more than that, the scripture speaks to this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says, dads, that we ought to be teaching our children the commands of God and the precepts of his word, and we do it when we wake up, when we sit down, when we go for a walk, and when we lie back down. Did you notice that the whole day is there? When you wake up, when you sit down, when you go for a walk, and when you lie down. In other words, all day long, during the time that we have, because you work, and I know that there's busyness that's there, the time that we have, we need to capitalize on that, because that's the beginning place of understanding that if you're gonna be a great archer, and your children are arrows, it starts with us dads. It starts with the bonding. It starts with understanding all of that in our life. And then we get to the second category. We've got bonding, and then the second one is the boundaries. So let's talk about that for just a little bit, because boundaries is really important as well, because boundaries is where we're aiming them and we're giving them direction. Let's go back to the archer. See, if you're an archer, you shoot at a target. You don't just shoot anywhere. You shoot at a target. And so dads, it's our job as archers to make sure that our arrows, our kids, understand where the target is so that we can help them to shoot and aim at the targets that they have in their life. Targets like the right kind of relationships, targets in when they start dating, targets when they're thinking about their life and career and all those kinds of things. We need to create boundaries for them. Boundaries is a really interesting thing, because when we think of boundaries in our lives, boundaries will help us in making sure that we understand the difference between love, listen in dads, love and enabling. See, love does not equal or equate to enabling. In fact, if we enable our children, which means we take away the boundaries, and how many of you agree, if there's no boundaries, if there's no targets, it's chaos. They just shoot their life all over the place. We'd all agree that it's chaos. But when we enable our children, we take away the boundaries, we create chaos. Boundaries are one of the most loving things we can do, dads. But it's hard. Because sometimes we feel like, I could just love them by just letting them have one more chance, one more go, one more whatever it might be. And there's something to be said about a second chance. But chances are there are people around you, a wife or a friend or a guy's group that will help you to navigate the fact that you might be enabling, and that's not boundaries. See, boundaries is really an important thing for us because it helps our children to be aimed in the right direction and it gives them the right direction. A couple things to think about when we think of boundaries, and that's this. We need to provide opportunities for good decisions. I think you'd all agree with me that we are a sum total of our decisions. If you look at your life today, you are where you are because of the sum totals of the decisions that you've made, whether it's relationships or marriage or kids or career or things you enjoy, habits, all those kinds of things. We're a summation of decisions that we've made in our lives. And it's important for us to understand that because if we're thinking about boundaries, we need to understand that Proverbs chapter 13 says that whoever spares the rod hates his son. Wow. See, the rod, I want you to think about it as like a shepherd's hook, right? Where if our child gets going a certain direction, we hook them with the rod and pull them in. I don't want you to see the rod as something we use. It's something that we gather. So it says here, whoever spares the rod hates his son, and he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. We need to affirm great decisions, and we need to help our kids to make good decisions because really, our kids making good decisions is really the summation of their life and part of what we need to be doing as dad. And so providing opportunities for that is really important. Secondly, when it comes to boundaries, we need to live what you instruct. Dads, we need to live the very things that we want our kids to be instructed with. When you look in scripture, it's pretty simple. In James chapter 1, it says, be doers of God's word, not just hearers of God's word. In other words, live it out, dads. Live it out in such a way that's so important. I love Proverbs 14 because Proverbs 14 says that when a dad has fear for God, meaning when a dad really has God as priority in his life, it creates a fortress for our children. I love that. That you and I, when we live, dads, when we live out our faith in such a way, we create a fortress that our kids can come to and find themselves in security and safety. It's just absolutely amazing when we think about it. We need to live what you instruct because they're reading that letter every single day. So we certainly have the fact that we have boundaries that we want there. We have bonding that takes place there. Those two are there. Let's look at the third one, capabilities. It's really important. Capabilities is the third category here. And capabilities is guiding with skill, helping them to see the skills that they have and the strengths that they have. Our kids need to make their own decisions. We know that. I mean, even in middle school, they make decisions. In high school, in college, and even beyond that. We all know that, dads. But you dads play a huge role in those decisions. Huge role in that. Let me give you a couple categories to think about when we're talking about the capabilities of our children as an arrow, as an archer. Thinking about yourself, making sure that you set the right boundaries so they know what they're aiming at. And then helping them in the process of all of that to make sure they understand the skills that they have. A couple things to think about. Number one, don't provoke your children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says, dads, don't provoke your children. Provoke means don't make them angry. That's really tough to understand, isn't it? Let me try, if I can, to help bring some clarity to that verse. In my own life, I've tried this, and I'm going to give this to you as dads as well. I think the way that we provoke our children, dads, is when we try to make them do something or become something that they aren't. I've had a lot of time to stand at the soccer fields. I mean, you know I love soccer. I love the game. I love playing it. I tried coaching it one time. I was a terrible coach. I was like, I had these kids and I was going to teach them soccer and they would be doing it wrongly. I was like, give me that ball. Let me show you how to do that. And so I would do, you know, that's not a good coach. But I'm standing on the sidelines. I'm coaching. I'm watching parents. What's really interesting to me is to see so many kids that are playing soccer who don't even want to play soccer, but their parents want them to play soccer. Have you seen these families? Don't raise your hand because they might be sitting next to you. I don't know. Where they don't want to play soccer. It's just that their parents want them to play soccer because their parents either played soccer in high school or wanted to play soccer and, you know, living vicariously out through their kids. And see, I think the problem for us dads is when we're working to make our children who they aren't in personality. You know, I've raised four sons, and I've got sons that are funny. I've got sons that are like analysts. They analyze things really well. I've got sons who are savers. I've got sons who are spenders. They're all like their mother. In a good way. She's been an amazing, amazing mom. But you know, you look at the boys, they have different personalities. And so if we try to make them into something that they're not, or interests or passions, it's really interesting that when I think about my youngest son, who was the one that, this is his bow, by the way, he left it at our house. He's now gone and married, and I'm wondering why he didn't take it with him. Well, here's why, because he had a good friend who was interested in being an archer for about a couple of years. And so he wanted one for Christmas. We bought him one for Christmas. And he used it for about a couple of years when his friend was around town and he used it. But then he moved on. He moved on to other things in his life. He had other interests like golf and other things in his life. And so dads, we get the really, really awesome privilege to help our children. It's the art, listen carefully, it's the art of fathering. The art of fathering, guiding them as they make decisions, helping them in their relationships. I remember my oldest son came home from college and he brought this girl home with him that he was dating, and he thought, man, this is it. And she walked into the door and my wife and I looked at each other and go, okay, we gotta start praying. Because when you know your children, you know them better than they know themselves. Can I get an amen on that one, parents, right? Amen. And so we're like, this is not gonna work. This is not best for her. This is not best for him. And so it didn't work out. Thankfully, it didn't work out. But you know what I'm talking about. Dads, it's so important for us to help the art of parenting and helping them with dating. Dads, let's be the ones to talk about with our kids about sex. Certainly moms, you should do that with your daughters. But dad, we need to be the one to do that. If not, it's gonna be the internet, or it's gonna be somebody in high school or college or middle school. The art of fathering, which means we identify their strengths. We identify who they are. We identify how they're wired. It's so important. So you see, if we're gonna help our kids understand the capabilities in their life, let's not provoke our children. In other words, let's not try to make them something that they're not. That's a really hard thing to do, but I think we need to try it because that's what an archer does. An archer understands the skill of what it takes. Secondly, if we're talking about capabilities, we need to make sure we understand we should pray for our child. Now, this may be something that goes without saying, because here's why. You moms, you do this in spades. But dads, I think sometimes dads, we forget the importance of praying for our kids, our arrows, every single day. Dad, can I challenge you as I'm challenging me? This week, start with this week, every day, would you pray for your children? Would you pray for your in-laws if you have them? Would you pray for your grandchildren by name? I love the prayer in 1 Chronicles. You can read it for yourself. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David prayed a prayer for his son Solomon. It went like something like this. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he might keep your commands and your testimonies and your statutes, performing all, and then he gets real practical, that he may build the palace with the right provisions. Because his job was to build the palace, build the temple of God. It's amazing. What a great prayer that David prays for his son. So we have bonding, men. We need to make sure we bond. It starts with us as the archer. Secondly, we need to think about boundaries, helping our children with boundaries, because there's a big bad world out there that wants to eat them up. Thirdly, when you think about the capabilities, the strengths and the gifts that they have, the skills that they're going to acquire in their life. And then the fourth one is the realities. The fourth category is the realities. And realities are making sure that we check up against the target. How many of you know that if you're an archer and you aim at a target, you might miss it? And there are times when you're aiming at a target and you miss it. Dad, you know this. You aim at something and you don't make it. You aim at something and you miss it. You aim at it and you miss it. We need to help our children realize that the realities of life are that there will be pain, there will be loss, there will be disappointment, there will be brokenness, there will be broken hearts, and we have to help realize and the realities of that in their life. We have to walk with them in those realities because they're there. A couple of categories that might help us in thinking about realities is this, that we should never, 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 is that enough nevers? Never give up on your child. Last week, if you weren't here, we looked at John chapter 15, the prodigal son. And we focus on the prodigal son, but there's also a son that wasn't a prodigal. So you have the reckless son and you have the religious son. And the father never gave up on either one of them. I love how the story says that for the reckless son, he ran out to the son. And we saw it last week if you were here. If you weren't here, you need to know that the second son, the religious son, the father went out to get him too. Didn't have to run so far because he's right there. But he went out to get him too because he's compassionate and caring. He didn't give up, so I want to challenge you, never give up on your kids. Never give up on where they're at in their spiritual life. Never give up on them as they're dealing with struggles and different things in their life because of the realities of life. Secondly, as we're thinking about the realities, be a compassionate father like your Heavenly Father. I want to challenge you as I'm challenging myself. Dads, let's start with grace. I mean, after all, isn't that what the Heavenly Father starts with? Grace. Let's be men of grace. That doesn't mean that we get rid of boundaries. That doesn't mean that we have realities where we have honest conversations with them. But let's be dads that are filled with grace, filled with compassion, because that's what fathers do. What a great verse we find in Psalm 127, that your children are like arrows. Bonding is important. Guys, when we work on ourselves, boundaries are important because they need to have the right things that they aim at. Capabilities are important because we need to help them to determine their life and walk with them in their life. And then the realities certainly are there. We get to verse 5. Your Bible still open? Take a look at verse 5. Really interesting that at the very end of this short little psalm, this is what it says, talking about our children. It says this, that children, godly children, because they have a dad who bonded with them and is bringing God into the picture and giving them boundaries and helping them with capabilities and realities, godly children will have prominence and influence. See, when you read in verse 5, it says there that there will be conversations at the city gate. Do you realize that thousands and thousands of years ago, the center of Main Street was the city gate? That's where everybody got together. That's where you heard all the gossip. That's where all the conversations were had. And it says in there, dads, that when you and I consider bonding with our children, when we consider boundaries for our children, when we consider the capabilities of our children and the realities in a life with our children, they're going to have influence. And God's going to use them. And they're going to be right there in the middle of all of it. So we start where we started, and that's this. I think we are all in need of a father. So let's say today you're a mom here, and you're like, nothing for me. Yeah, there is. You're single. There's nothing for me. Yeah, there is. You're a high schooler. Nothing for me. Yeah, there is. Because we all need a father. Psalm 68 says that God is even the father to the fatherless. What a great psalm that is. Would you bow with me for a minute? And dads, would you pray? And would you let God hear you today? Because I don't think you would be here in any one of our campuses or online if you didn't want this to be something that was true and serious for you. And so I'm going to ask you today to just consider what it would be like for you, maybe to bond with your kids, maybe to create some boundaries, maybe some capabilities that they just need to hear from you today on Father's Day, or realities. Father, we pray that you'd be with us today. We thank you for this honest conversation. What an incredible psalm that you've given to us that just talks about the family and the importance and the significance. Dads, I pray, Father, that you would encourage every dad here. I'm guessing that there are dads that feel like they've done a terrible job. Help us to realize that today we can change that. It's never too late. If there's dads that are here today and they feel like their children are long and lost, I pray, Father, that you would give them encouragement in such a way that you, as our Heavenly Father, are close, that they would wait in anticipation for an opportunity to open up with their children. Thank you, Lord, that they are arrows that we get to shoot. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.